Oh, but this morning I want to talk about something very refreshing, and that's God's love for us and his words that he has given to guide us in life. And some of these words might be a little heated too, because they are words of warning for us. And we always need to be reminded. We always need to have warnings at times given to us, because those are the reminders that keep us walking in the path that God would have us to walk. And this morning I want to speak to you out of Proverbs. So I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 16 through 19. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, for all of the wonders that you have shown us and provided to us, and the testimonies that we have of your love and protection, of your caring and your helping. And Father, we have so many needs even now, individually and as a nation. We ask for forgiveness and for strengthening, even as a nation, I pray, Father. Help us to return to see you in your glory and to return in forgiveness, Lord, so that we can truly say, you are our God and we are your people. Help us, Father. To your glory we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Abominations. Abominations. How many of us have ideas on what an abominations are, or what an abomination is, and can list abominations for what they are? You know, if you begin to look at the different definitions that are out there about abominations, you will find that it does deal directly with the concept of God and his holiness and things that are not acceptable to God, offensive to God. In fact, one of the definitions puts it in three simple words that I want you to hear. Things utterly detestable. I mean, makes sense. Drives home the point on what abominations are. How many of us recognize abominations when we see them? Or has our nation and our society become so filled with itself and so proud of its self and the way that we can live without restraint? Do we not recognize what abominations are? Do we not recognize what sin is? Do we not know the difference between right and wrong anymore? Are we just afraid to say what's right and wrong anymore? Because God is very clear on what is right and what is wrong, what is sin and what is righteousness. And in the Proverbs here, we are given some things to be wary of, to consider as we walk through our life every day, to make sure that we don't find ourselves standing before God as an abomination through our life and through our words and through our actions. Because there are so many things that God can see that would look like an abomination to him in our life. Now, I know many of you, when we hear the word abomination, the first thing we think of is those words that are found in the Old Testament about men sleeping together with other men. How many of you are familiar with that? In fact, in Leviticus it says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And I mean, we understand that. We see that. But we seem to turn to these kinds of things in our society today and say, well, that's who you are. Be who God made you to be. And these are the words of society. These are not my words. My words are these that come in the same manner that God has given us. Be wary of what you do and how you live. And don't live in this kind of abomination, because you are living as an offense before God. It is that simple. It is that simple. But I got to talk to you for a moment here about this. Because God loves all of his creation, doesn't he? There's not a single soul that is born that God hasn't given the opportunity to find salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. There is not a sin that cannot be forgiven except one. There's only one sin that will never be forgiven. Homosexuality is not that sin. And I know that we can have some very strong feelings about these kinds of things, but we need to be clear. God has called us to love everyone as he has loved everyone. And it doesn't matter if they're living this kind of lifestyle or not. We need to care about these people because they are souls that God has given his son a ransom for. Now, what we need to be careful with, and this is where we as Christians and I have failed at points in my life, because I didn't have a clear thought on what I was saying, but I want to try to clearly state it today. If you know someone who is living in a homosexual lifestyle, pray for them. Try to help them if you have the opportunity. Lead them to Christ and lead them to living a righteous life outside of that sin. But don't be short-sighted in how you say it. You know, you might have someone close to you, a brother, a cousin, and they're living a homosexual lifestyle, and you want them to... I'm just praying that you're going to find a person of the opposite sex that you can have a relationship with. What does that... Hold on, y'all. What does that mean? Because whether you live in homosexuality or whether you just live in sexual immorality, it is still sin in the eyes of God. Don't pray for someone to find someone in the other sex to live with. That's still sin. We want them to come out of sin. We're not praying for them to shift from one to the other. And so we have to remember that we want people to come out of sexual sin altogether, whether it's homosexuality or whether it is just regular old sexual sin. You know, the sexual revolution in America, people just want to live together all the time. And it's sin. It's sin. It is darkness in the eyes of God. It is rebellion against God. And it's bringing harm to everyone individually who live these lifestyles. There's a penalty for that, physically and spiritually. Abominations. I mean, we know what homosexuality is, and we see it specifically, but don't forget, sin is still an offense to God. And so when we want to help people living in that kind of sin, help them in the right way and help them completely. Lead them to Jesus and away from sin altogether, right? Guide them to find peace with God and to live the kind of life he intends between a man and a woman through marriage. Through marriage. And to honor God in that kind of relationship. That's what our nation should be promoting. That's what we as Christians should be promoting. That we live a life that God has given us to live properly and in honor of Him. But that's not the only kind of abomination, y'all. That's not the only kind of abomination. Let's talk about in-laws now. No, I'm kidding. No, let's stay away from in-laws, okay? I'm one of those myself. We'll avoid that. How about something we might call social abominations? You know, who you can hang around with, who you can eat, what kinds of foods you can eat. How many of you know in Scripture that there are different kinds of foods that people were not allowed to eat? Jewish people, they couldn't. Peter, you remember Peter in Acts? He was up on the rooftop. He was hungry, and all of a sudden he saw all of this picture of all of these animals and creeping things, and he said, I can't eat that. It's against the way I live. It's against my lifestyle. It's against our teachings. And God said, you know, don't reject what God has made clean. And so now we can enjoy things like bacon. Amen? But you know, a lot of people will say that Christians are the only ones that have these kinds of things. But you know, the Scripture proves that wrong too. If you go all the way back into Genesis when Joseph was meeting his brothers again after he was in a lofty position in Egypt, and his brothers came back on a return trip with his youngest brother, and they sat down to eat. And it says specifically in there, I want you to hear this. They all sat down and they sat differently because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. You can go anywhere in cultures all around this world. They have restrictions on what they do and things they considered abominations. The Egyptians couldn't eat with the Hebrews. That's an abomination. The Jews couldn't eat pork. That's an abomination. What kind of abominations do we have now? Y'all, I'm telling you, the only thing I can think of that's an abomination when it comes to food is mullet. I know I'm talking to the wrong crowd, but y'all are the ones that need to hear that.
I agree.
People trying to poison me. But you know, we can sit down, and the Scripture also says that all things are acceptable when they are received with thanksgiving to God. Right? So I can sit down, you know, have a plate of mullet and some coleslaw, and I can enjoy the coleslaw and pass the mullet on down, you know? And not think badly of anyone that eats it. But all things are good when they are accepted. You know, we don't have to worry about whether it was sacrificed to an idol. If we give thanks to God for the food, we are receiving it, knowing that it's provided by God. And we're not honoring some idol. We're not honoring some false god. We are thanking God for His gift and for His taking care of us and providing our needs. And boy, that how wonderful it is to have a good plate of food to thank God for. But these are social abominations I'm talking about. All Egyptians can't eat with the Hebrew. That's an abomination. We can't eat bacon. That's an abomination. All kinds of things that were considered abominations. Listen, there are also some things that we ought to really take serious, though. We talked about the sexual thing, and that's serious as it is. But there's also another thing that we ought to be careful with, and that's spiritual abominations. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say spiritual abominations? Things that we do in rituals, and sacrifices, and I'm talking about with witchcraft and sorcery and calling up mediums, and I'm talking about the kinds of things that God has said is unwholesome and unholy for us to be a part of. Stay away from Ouija boards, y'all. Don't celebrate in the evils that are in the movies that you get to see. Celebrate in the things that are good and wholesome and honor God and lift God up. And be wary of spiritual abominations, because I want to tell you something. Spiritual abominations are real, and spiritual beings are real, and spiritual things can happen in your life that are real, and they can be evil or they can be good. And if you have never dealt with or seen anybody dealing with an evil spirit in your life, I pray you never do. I pray you never do. Because it's a horrible thing to witness. And you can't just run over and take control of the situation. And all of these demons and these spirits are invited in through the things that we do. Y'all know what vampires are, don't you? You know, one of the things about vampires is this. They can't come in the house until they're invited, right? You ever seen that before? Part of the structure of how the vampire has to live and the restraints they have, and they can't come into a home unless they're invited. I want to tell you something. Demons aren't coming in unless you invite them. Unless you want to have time with them. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll go so far as to say this. Once you become a child of God and have been sealed with the Holy Spirit upon your heart, demons cannot take over your body again. Now, they can affect you from the outside, but from within, they have no place to be. Spiritual abominations and how easy they get into our lives, into our homes. Are y'all paying attention to this? Abominations, the idea of abominations and what they are? Because God has told us abominations are not the things we need in our life. These are the things that we need to remove out of our life and to replace them with the things that God gives us to replace them with. Prayer and trust and faith. His Word, His Spirit. We have to live as His people. How many of y'all thought about abominations this week? Anybody ever in here sitting down saying, wow, oh, that's an abomination. I'm going to study that this week. We get so used to these things, don't we? That we just don't even respond to it anymore. And we have to be careful. We have to be more alert. We have to wake up and open our eyes and open our ears so that we can see and we can hear and we can follow what God is telling us and avoid what the enemy is telling us. You have to be able to know the difference. Because let me tell you something, the enemy is very wise, very deceptive, and lying in wait for those with whom and with which he can devour. He's just waiting for opportunities. And we make it easy too often for our enemy to start a fight with us. But the thing with the spiritual abominations, When individuals can give themselves so freely to spiritual abominations, how long does it take before a nation will fall into spiritual abomination? And how long will it take before the world will see the abomination of desolation because of what people have become and are looking for and eager for in their lives? How many of you know what the abomination of desolation is? In Mark, you find these words, "Let no one deceive you." When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And then you find in Thessalonians where Paul is writing, he says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." This is where we get to with the abomination of desolation. And where the world is eagerly seeking someone to do these things. There's a warning to those that are there in those moments. When you see this thing, run from the city, get out. But what is going to allow this kind of thing to take place? Because of the spiritual abomination that has taken over mankind. I personally think there's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen. We are looking at the time of tribulation and all of that that's going to take place. I believe at this point the church will be gone. I believe we will be raptured and out of here. But you must be a child of God to be gone. You must have that Spirit of God sealing you for the day of redemption. God must know you as you claim to know Him. And it must be evident. It must be evident. And in order for you to avoid all of the things that are going to come with this abomination of desolation, you must find salvation in Christ. There's not going to be any that who are going to escape that if they're still here. You don't want to be left behind. The movie is not very biblically sound when it talks about people being left behind. And oh, he was a preacher and he just didn't have it right. But now he sees he was wrong. Let me tell you, Paul is quite clear on this. He says when those people who have rejected Christ, when they have an opportunity to accept Him for the truth that He is, if they are left behind, they will be given a strong delusion so that they should believe the lie. They will not walk in testimony of Jesus Christ anymore. They will walk in testimony of the one they've been seeking, the one who will stand before the world in the temple and say, "I'm God. Here I am. You've waited. I'm here." And the people will rejoice. People will rejoice. And it begins because of lives that are built upon abominations. Sin and unwillingness to let it go. And God is calling us to change. God is calling us to find forgiveness. God is calling us to be born again through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if you have not made peace with God through Jesus, you are lost. And there is nothing but a veneer in front of your life about all of the joy that you have. I mean, we can look like we're all hunky-dory. Y'all know what hunky-dory is? Some of the younger folks, y'all don't know what hunky-dory is, do you? Yeah, Yankee term, right? Y'all may look like you're all hunky-dory, but inside, you've got questions, you've got concerns, you've got problems, you don't understand, you don't know. Let me tell you, even when you come to Christ, you still have questions, and you will still have concerns, and you will still have things you don't know. But you will have peace because you will know this: God will never leave you nor forsake you, and He will not abandon you. And when it's all said and done, He will call your name and bring you home to the place that He has prepared for you, so that you can be with Him for eternity. But we have to be wary of sin and abominations. It's all around us, but we don't have to be part of it. We don't have to promote it. We don't have to be silent and let everybody think it's okay to us either. We can say to the world, I believe in the God that has given His Son to save me. And His words are what I hold true. I don't trust in the philosophies of men. I don't trust in governments. We've talked about this before too. There's only one who's going to lift me into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can't do it on your own. And the Ten Commandments is not a stairway to heaven. You've got to go through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ. For there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved than Jesus Christ. You know what abominations are. You know what sin is. We're going to look more closely at these that are listed here in Proverbs over the next few weeks. But I want you to just understand what an abomination is. And do you know, if you haven't found salvation in Jesus Christ, you might as well mark yourself as an abomination in the eyes of God. Unacceptable. Rejected, because you don't have the covering from the blood of the Lamb. And that's what you've got to have. Without that, you're lost. And you don't have hope. You might have dreams, but you don't really want to wake up without hope in Jesus Christ. And I invite you today to come and to find that peace, to find yourself as a new creation in Christ, and to learn how well God will guide you and protect you and care for you. I invite you today, if you don't know Jesus, come and find that peace today through the forgiveness of sins. Father, I thank You so much for this day and for Your love and Your mercy upon us again. Lord, it's just with us with every breath, and we thank You for that. We thank You, Father, that You have given us things to teach us so that we can understand. And even not if not fully, Lord, we can understand how You feel about sin and what it's leading to, not just in the life of individuals, but in the life of creation. And Father, that we're all lost without You. And I pray today, if there is one here who has not found the forgiveness of sins, Father, touch them, stir them. Lord, give them the strength to come and to find peace in You. And we ask it only to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come?
while there's time.